Sunday morning, 12:6:20. This is our teaching, Learning to Flow with the Supernatural. The title of it is called God Supplies. God Supplies. Philippians 4:19. God supplies all of our needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. In the Strong's Concordance, supply means this: to make replete, to cram, level up a hollow, furnish, satisfy, execute or verify. I can just see an old stump, hollow stump, and they're just pouring stuff in there and they're just mashing it down and they keep putting more and mashing it down. That's the way God gives. That's the way He supplies. Luke 6:38. I could quote it, but I'll just turn there. It says, "Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down." Isn't that what this is? Supplies? To cram? "Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down." I think about potato chips every time, or cereal. You know, when it leaves the factory, it's all filled to the top. By the time it gets to the store, about half a box. It settles. All the air's gone. You know, it's agitating and all the air works its way out of it. And you got a half a box. Well, God just, He keeps cramming more. "Pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall be given to your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal shall be measured to you again." Many have a hard time with this because they have to let go of what they have, what they've toiled for, if they want to partake of kingdom riches. It's called divine supply. It's just different. It's not the same. The rich young ruler wanted to know what he could do to receive the true riches. Well, when he heard, he didn't like what he heard. It upset him greatly. We're going to look at that, both accounts. This is Matthew 19. What good thing can I do? It's not about what good thing you can do. Matthew 19:16. "And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is, God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. And he saith unto him, Which? Jesus saith, Thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And the young man saith unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet?" Well, Jesus knew that couldn't be true because God gave the law because He knew man couldn't keep it. And if they offended in one, they offended in all. So He knew, there's no way He did this. No way. Jesus said unto him, "If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then Jesus said unto his disciples, "Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, "Who then can be saved?" But Jesus beheld them and said with them, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." See, with men you say, no way, there's just no way I can do that. But God says it's possible, if you understand. Okay, Mark 10. This is 10:17. "And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandment, Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. And Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, One thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come take up the cross and follow me. And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked around about, saith unto his disciples, How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again, and saith unto them, Children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, Who then can be saved? And Jesus, looking upon them, saith, With men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. Then Peter began to say unto him, Lo, we've left all, and have followed thee. And Jesus answered and said, Verily I say unto you, that there is no man that hath left house, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my sake in the Gospels, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions and the world to come, eternal life. So Jesus is talking about two different ways. Not what's possible with men, but what's possible with God. We see that here that that greed got in the way when he went away sad. Isn't that greed? He couldn't let go of what he had. Here's what greed is. Employment. Woo! That's a hard one. Employment. Greed. Employment. An affair. Occasion. A demand, requirement, or destitution. But that employment got me. I thought, that's what it was, how it was in the garden. After the fall, the curse. You'll work by the sweat of your brow. And then you'll die and return to dust. You'll work hard and you'll bring forth thorns and thistles. Yeah. What is the kingdom of God like, though? Mark 4. Mark 4:26. Just back a few pages here. And he said, So is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground. It's not about your toil. It's not about your job. And should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. Now what if you approached your job that way? They'd fire you. Well, I'm going to do this job, but I don't know how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full cord in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. Release, sow, rest, reap. Released, release, sow, rest, reap. This has been God's plan for man from the very beginning. When they got off the boat, he reinstated it to Noah. That's this, Genesis 8:22. Turn over there right quick. 8:22. We're learning how to walk in the Spirit here, and that doesn't, when it comes to your money and all that, that doesn't say, well, you do it in all these other areas, and when it comes to money, well, you know, you just do with what you want, because most people, that's where they part company with God, their money, because their heart's attached to the money. You find out which master they truly serve. 8:22, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. So the kingdom of God is seed time and harvest. Okay. All right, how do you pay taxes? You go to the tax people and you get your taxes done, and then they tell you, you owe us this much money. But how do you really pay your taxes? We're going to look at it, what Jesus did. All right, Matthew. We're learning to flow in the supernatural. We're learning to walk by the Spirit. Matthew 17. By the way, when you said that word in the scriptures, Kim Clement was a prophet that spoke to presidents. In fact, Trey Smith is the video that I watched. When he was only about 16 years old, he was on a cruise ship, and Kim Clement was on that cruise ship, and Kim Clement had something for him and imparted something into his life on that cruise ship. And so he became personal friends with them. He takes care and sees after his wife and kids. And his daughters kind of followed in his footsteps to release these prophecies and things to people that Kim has had that were never released. And they kind of, you know, let the Lord lead them on how they do that. But when he was bringing this word, he was talking about even Obama at times quoted Kim Clement in his prophecies. Yeah. He was quite a fiery prophet. I mean, he was very strong, very insightful. I mean, he's got words that were back years before President Trump that called him out as the trumpet then, before any other prophet that I've ever heard of. He had insight like none that I have ever known. And he's the first one I ever really had any connection with. A little intimidating, you know, but still, something else. All right, Matthew 17:24. And when they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter and said, "Doth not your master pay tribute?" He saith, "Yes." When he was coming to the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, "What thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute, of their own children or of strangers?" And Peter said unto him, "Of strangers." Jesus saith unto him, "Then are the children free. Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea and cast an hook and take up the fish that cometh up. When thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. That take and give unto them for me and thee." So Jesus, he evidently had a word of knowledge for the situation. Peter was probably thinking, "I'm going to have to pull another all-nighter for this one. I better get me another job because I don't have the money to pay my taxes. Go to fretting and toiling to try to get the thing cared for." But what did Jesus do? Whatever the Father said to him, he did. He got wisdom from God, and God showed him what to do. You see this a lot in the Old Testament prophets. Like when the axe head came off of the handle or the whatever, and it sunk to the bottom, and they said, "Oh, my father, it's borrowed. What are we going to do?" Because that was their livelihood. And I think he threw something into the water, and the axe head floated. God showed him what to do. It was a divine supply. When they were eating the pottage that they thought it was gourds, and it was poison in the pot, he put salt. Now people take that and think, "Yeah, this is a new cure here. We're going to market this, and we're going to, you know, you put salt and stuff, and it makes everything real." No, it was something God told them to do. A lot of times it had nothing to do with what it being a cure or anything else. It just had to do with, will you be obey me in something seemingly silly? Will you be silly enough to go down to Buffalo Wallow and put in your fishing pole? Somebody comes up to you and say, "What are you doing?" I said, "Oh, I'm fishing for tax money." You know? Will we follow the Lord when he says do something when it doesn't make any sense to us? That's the kingdom way. All right. It is not in the method, but in the wisdom. This is what learning to follow the Spirit of God is. Not just in, let's have a hoo-ha here at church. This is about your life. This isn't occasionally, we're going to have a camp meeting down here at the church. We're going to go back to sinning and doing our regular stuff on Saturday morning or whatever comes down Monday morning. No, this is about walking your life. Everything you do is a spiritual act of worship. You've laid your life down on the altar, like Romans 12, 1 and 2 says. You have become a spiritual sacrifice, and now you no longer are your own. And now your will and your pleasure is to serve Him, and we listen to the Spirit of God, and He shows us what to do about situations that come. Okay. It's not by the sweat of your brow, but by the wisdom of God. How did Jesus supply the wine at the feast? All right, let's look at that. This is John chapter 2. I like so much the way they did it in The Chosen, because he looked at his mother like, what do you want out of me? What do you want? Who am I? He basically was saying, my time's not yet, you know? Woman, what do you want out of me? The third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, they have no wine. And Jesus said unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. In other words, you know I can't move independently of the Father. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water, and they filled them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast, and they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom and saith unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine. And when men have well drunk, then that which is worse, but thou hast kept the good wine until now. The beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. God ain't cheapo. He ain't El Cheapo. He's El Shaddai. You know what I'm saying? He does not... It was the best wine. It was not that cheap stuff you buy at Walmart. Which I don't drink wine, so I don't know. I wouldn't know. I just know it all tastes putrid anyway. All right. His mother said, whatsoever he says to you, do it. This is how Jesus operated in the kingdom. He let the Father tell him what to do. Like the day he said, there's a woman in Samaria, I want you to go see. He just listened to what the Spirit said do, and he did it. How did Jesus operate the kingdom? He listened to the Holy Spirit. That's what this subject is about. This is John chapter 14. He's explaining to his disciples. In chapter 14, he says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. It's just like with this COVID stuff. When I get to where I feel like I'm not in control, like maybe it's starting to, you know, I'm starting to get off my peace. I'll just say that, off my peace. And I ask the Lord about it. It's like he said in that word. I come back, the Lord brings me back. What have I spoken to you? If he's going to have to be facing the mark of the beast, would I be, wouldn't I have told you? Wouldn't I have you warned you? If you were going to all face all of these things that they say they're going to do and all of these things, wouldn't I have spoken to you? I spoke to you what you needed to know. And it's proven true. Talking about many confirmations. I have had multiple confirmations since the day the Lord spoke that to me from people all over social media. I'm talking about people that report Q and report the truth and things like that. Over and over and over. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, you notice he didn't say a shack. I prepared a trailer park and you a trailer for you. I go and prepare a place for you, a mansion. Mansion. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Well, it doesn't surprise me. Thomas didn't know. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father, and how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself. But the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works I do, he shall do also, and greater works than these shall I do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. So he said, we do the same works he did. How will we do the same works Jesus did? We follow the Spirit just like Jesus did. If he doesn't say to do something, you don't do anything. It's pretty simple. Because I get to, it seems like you get to practice that most of the time. Because we got a lot of, well, why, Lord, why? When, Lord, when? All this mess going on all the time, wanting answers. And it's just crickets. And then one day out of the blue, the Lord will say, blah, blah, blah. And you'll just go do it. It's really pretty simple. Okay. Learning to walk in the supernatural is learning to listen to the Spirit and doing what the Spirit says do, as opposed to doing what you think from a worldly perspective, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. It's not what you know, but who you know. I don't have to have a degree after my name. I just got to know who has all the knowledge, the wisdom. It's not even about how much you sow, even. I'll let that sink in. Well, more's better, bigger's better. I remember one time being at a church here, and there was this guy came, and it's time for the offering. I said, Lord, what do you want me to give, $100? He said, how much money you got in your wallet? And I said, $3. He said, give $3. A lot of people think, no, bigger is always better. Is it? No, obedience is better. Now, $100 would have been a sacrifice. Obedience is better than sacrifice. $3 I could handle. That's what I had. Okay. It's not even about how much you sow. We're going to look at that in Mark 12. We're going to look at verse 41 of 12. And Jesus set over against the treasury, and behold how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in 2 mites, which was a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples, and saith unto them, verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance. But she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. So it's not about how much. It's the heart. Luke 21. And he looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither two mites. You know, disobedience, disobedience. The Lord says, give $3 and you give $300. You just disobeyed the Lord. A lot of times rich people cast in whatever, just kind of leave their guilt anyway, I think. And he said, of a truth I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. For all these have of their abundance cast into the offerings of God, but she of her penury hath cast in all that the living that she had. It's about obeying the Lord. It's about doing what he says to do and not varying from that. I mean, if he tells you to do one thing and you do another, or you partially do it, you still disobeyed. He usually doesn't make it very complicated. You know why? And I've told you many times. Because we screw that up too. He makes it very simple so we can understand. Okay, 1 Kings. I think we read this last week. It's like, I was thinking about, what's his name? Maybe I wrote it down. Oh, Bill Winston. He said, I can tell you how to send 10 kids to Harvard with no money. He tells that story of that guy, and I forget who he was, but he was a black man, and he was a young man. And his mother had spoken all of his life that he was going to go to college, and she didn't have any money, so she made him these greasy sandwiches. I just remember that part of it. He got up to in the line to pay the tuition. He had no money. But his mother said, I'll be praying for you, son. And someone stepped up and paid him the full-time college scholarship. See, that mother with no money believed God, sowed seed, spoke. So it's not about how much you have. It's not about having stockpiles of money to sow more, because all it takes is a seed. Okay, 1 Kings 17. You can operate this principle anytime. Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. See, what he proclaimed, it affected him too. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank from the brook. It came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get up there to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. You know, if somebody said something like that today, you'd say, she's just a poor old widow woman. I can't take that from her. You know, in our society, it's like, don't make them poor people do anything. Those people that come over here illegally, give them free health care, give them free college, but you can't have that as a citizen. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks, and he called to her and said, "Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink." And as she was going to fetch it, he called her and said, "Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand." And she said, "As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die." Elijah said unto her, "Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, till the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth." And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. So don't think for a minute the Lord doesn't know where you're at, and he doesn't know what you need. If you ask him, he'll give you a seed for that need. You don't have to have stockpiles of money to receive a large harvest. Because when you give, it's given unto you. Good measure. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. It only takes a seed. And you never get just what you planted. You get a harvest. All right, let's go look at Mark, the parable of the sower. Jesus said if you get a hold of this parable, you'd understand all of them. Because they're all about kingdom operation. Did you ever notice? Mm-hmm. They're all about kingdom operation. And that's what we're operating in. Okay, Mark 4, 1. "And he began to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea. And the whole multitude was by the sea on the land, and he taught them many things by parables, and he said unto them in his doctrine, Hearken. Behold, there went out a sower to sow, and it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up, and some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun sprang up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. Other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, some 60, some 100. And he said unto them, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. When he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven. And he said unto them, Know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables? The sower soweth the word. And these are they that by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts." See, Satan's here to disrupt the kingdom. "And these are they, likewise, which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, receive it, bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. So, I'm hoping you're grasping this, because it's huge. It is. It's huge. All right. The problem is just what was described in the parable of the sower. It's not about how much. All you need is a seed. It's mainly about your mindset. Can you rest and follow it through, or will you let the tempter cause you to hold on to your seed, and eventually what you hold on to, you will lose. You're either going to go one master or the other. God has a way, and it's not like the way of the world. That's why people get disillusioned with faith. They're trying to operate kingdom ways in the world system's ways, and they don't work. Okay, let's look at Luke 12. I've been speaking for a while now, the abolishment of Social Security. That everything that we've paid in over our lifetime, plus the money from relatives that have passed away that we are direct descendants of, we receive a sevenfold return. They don't have any business with our money. I don't want the government having anything of mine. So as far as I'm concerned, that money is owed to us sevenfold return in some cases. So, anyway. All right. That's not God's way anyway. Heaping up is not God's plan. 12. In the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trod one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear and closet shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. Well, that kind of sounds like the day we live in, isn't it? Well, I didn't intend to read that. Let's go over to 13. But that is quite fitting for today. 13. One of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. He said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully, and he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself is not rich toward God. That's how we lost probably like our inheritance, because of the system. They stole it. When Brian passed away, I got on the phone to Social Security. And the guy told me, unless I was the wife or the child. And I said, So you're just stealing my son's money? He said, Yes, ma'am. That system wasn't set up to help you. It was set up, what is the thief come to do? Kill, steal, and destroy. So it still works the same way. Which master, you know, will you choose? It's up to you. All right, Ecclesiastes 11. It says to cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to seven, also to eight, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. But you know what? In the kingdom of God, you have a continual supply, so you sow. Because that is where your source of income is coming from. When the world system may be shut down. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth, and if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, and the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. Was that, you know what that says to me? The world's just going to go on like the world goes on. But you can operate the kingdom of God in the midst of it. He that observeth the wind shall not sow. He that regardeth the cloud shall not reap. Why? Because this is about not you toiling. It's about you letting go and sowing what you have and receiving a harvest. Most can't get past that mentally. Well, if I let go of what I have, I won't have anything. Isn't that amazing? God's all about giving. You give and you receive. I was talking to one of my daughters, telling her that I want our kids and grandkids to get a hold of this principle, that it's not what you get in life, it's what you give. It's like this: you can help them all you want and feed them for a day, but you teach them how to get this house. We've had two young people this year ask us that very question: how do you get a house like this? You know what our response? We follow God. He says, go buy that house, or give this, or do this. Whatever He says to us, we do it. That's how you get this. This one young man wanted to go to California. Was it California? He said, you're just a richer class of people down there. I'm thinking, I'm going, not from where I come from, you know? But that's the way they think. I got to be around all them Hollywood elites and stuff before I can get ahead. No. These young people need to know. There's a lot of things these young people need to know. First is about the truth about things. They've been sold a bill of goods. As thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand, for thou knowest not whither shall prosper, either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. So you can always have security because you are a sower and you are receiving a constant. And Amos, it talks about, I didn't put that down, but we'll look at that, about the, you'd sow it in the ground and the harvest would be coming on top of you as you're doing it. Right here, Amos 9:13. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the tread of grapes him that soweth seed. And the mountain shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt. And I will bring again the captivity of my people of Israel, and they shall build the waste cities and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and drink the wine thereof, and they shall also make gardens and eat the fruit of them. And I will plant them upon their land, and they shall no more be pulled up out of their land, which I have given them, saith the Lord thy God. The government's not going to steal no more from us. No. This is a way, constant sowing and reaping, sowing and reaping, sowing and reaping. This is the way you operate in the kingdom of God. Divine supply. Divine supply. Not counting on the government to take care of you when you get old or whatever. It was never supposed to be that way. You don't think God can't take care of His people? Yeah, He can. A lot better than any government. All right, Genesis 26. Verse 1. And there was a famine in the land, because the first famine that was in the days of Abraham and Isaac went into Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down to Egypt. In other words, don't do what your daddy did. He picked up Hagar, you know what I'm saying? Don't do what your daddy did. Listen to me, and I'll take care of you. Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. So he did whatever he said to him. He did it. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, will bless thee, for unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. And Isaac stayed in Gerar. Then verse 12 says, then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year 100-fold, and God, the Lord blessed him. Well, wasn't there a famine? Yep. And the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. For he had possessions of flocks, possessions of herds and great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him. The world looks at you and says, I don't get it. It's just like when they see we have this house, they'll say, God, how do you get a house like this? They just, it's like tilt. God did it. God did it. All right. Numbers chapter 9. All right, 15. And on the day that the tabernacle was reared up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, namely the tent of the testimony. And at even there was upon the tabernacle, as it were, the appearance of fire until the morning. So it was always. The cloud covered it by day and the appearance of fire by night, which signified God's presence. When the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, then after that the children of Israel journeyed. In the place where the cloud abode, there the children of Israel pitched their tents. So, if the cloud wasn't moving, they didn't move. When the cloud moved, they moved. Same thing. Whatever the Spirit says to you, do it. If He doesn't say do anything, don't do anything. At the commandment of the Lord, the children of Israel journeyed. At the commandment of the Lord, they pitched. As long as the cloud abode upon the tabernacle, they rested in their tents. And when the cloud tarried long upon the tabernacle many days, and the children of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and journeyed not. And so it was, when the cloud was a few days upon the tabernacle, according to the commandment of the Lord, they abode in their tents, and according to the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. And so it was, when the cloud abode from even until the morning, and that the cloud was taken up in the morning, then they journeyed. Whether it was by day or by night that the cloud was taken up, they journeyed. Or whether it were 2 days, or a month, or a year, that the cloud tarried upon the tabernacle remaining therein, the children of Israel abode in their tents and journeyed not. But when it was taken up, they journeyed. At the commandment of the Lord, they rested in the tent. At the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. They kept the charge of the Lord at the commandment of the Lord by the hand of Moses. So, they rested. Mark 4, 26. The kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed in the ground. And he goes to bed and he gets up. Goes to bed, he gets up. It's working and he doesn't know how. But when the harvest comes, he puts in the sickle. This is how the kingdom of God operates. It's pretty simple. We make it complicated, but God made it very simple.